بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله. Today is the 27th of December in the year 2020. And Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the ninth sessions that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Al-Kahf. And I've reached verse 26. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 28. So verse 26, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how long they stayed. With Him is the secrets of the heavens and the earth. How clearly He sees and how finely He hears. They have no protector other than Him, nor does He share His command with anyone whatsoever. So here a few things are mentioned. So Mawlana Al-Diri Abadi Rahmatullah Alayh, in his Tafsir Volume 3, page 68 to 9, he's given you the time and the personalities involved. So quoting, it seems highly probable that the seven sleepers hid themselves in the reign of Hadrian, who donned the imperial purple for a fairly long time, from 117 to 138. In April 129, Christian era, Hadrian undertook a long journey to the eastern provinces of the empire, from which he did not return to take up his residence on the Tiber until the year 134. So stop in the quote. So Mawlana Diri Abadi Rahmatullah Ali said that the emperor at the time was most probably somebody called Hadrian, and he ruled for 21 years. And then he mentioned that this emperor went on a long journey to the eastern parts of the Roman Empire. Then he said, it is not necessary that the persecution of the Christians of Ephesus should have taken place in the presence of Hadrian or even under his orders. So the first thing he points out is, even though he was the emperor, he doesn't have to be at the place where the sleepers were being persecuted. Nor did he have to give the order to persecute the sleepers. But it was under his watch this was taking place. Then he said, in the extensive dominions of the Roman Empire, any magistrate who exercised in the provinces the authority of the emperor or of the senate, and to those whose hands alone the jurisdiction of life and death of the subjects was entrusted, could have behaved as a remorseless tyrant. So the Shaykh says that anybody who was working for him could have given these orders which caused the oppression of the sleepers. Then it mentions about the emperor. Palestine blazed with the last and the most desperate of its rebellions for 3 years during the reign of Hadrian. So the holy land of Palestine, where Jerusalem is, they rebelled against the emperor for 3 years. When the end came in 135, Palestine was ruined and a largely depopulated place. The holy city was henceforth prohibited to the Jews. The emperor Hadrian was proud and vainglorious, envious, destructive, hasty, revengeful, inquisitive into other man's affairs, and often induced by sycophants to act cruelly and with injustice. He permitted the revival of the persecution against the Christians and showed many instances of a bad dispositions. And this is in the Historian's History of the World, Volume 6, page 281. So he was a shaitan, the emperor. And the people with him were yes men. They would encourage him to persecute the Christians. But like I mentioned, the Christians were probably the Muslims. Then Mawlana Diri Abadi says, Rahmatullah Ali, we can thus reasonably conclude that the companions of the cave concealed themselves during the reign of Hadrian, who visited Ephesus, and they were raised from their deep slumber in the time of the younger Theodosius. So Maulana Maududi goes, this seems quite certain that under the reign of this tyrant, the sleepers went into the kif. Then, after their long sleep, they awakened in the time of the emperor Theodosius. This, if agreed, would not only bring the Christian traditions in conformity with the Quran, but also sap the very foundation which provided Gibbon with an opportunity to deride the divine revelation. And this appears to be all the more reasonable because no extant source is definite about the beginning or even the end of the prolonged sleep of the youths. So Maulana Diri Abadi says somebody attacked the Quran called Gibbon. And he says it's got its times wrong. The timing is wrong 300 years. And why did he say that? Because Gibbon, he mentions that the time period of the emperors was around 200 years. And the Quran is saying 300 years. So Maulana Diri Abadi, this is why he's going into it. He's work, you know, he's looking at the whatever he's got available, and he goes, these two emperors, the beginning, Hadrian, the end, Theodosius, the time period is 300 plus years. So he goes, Gibbon has no right to attack the Quran. But these are the attacks they make against the Quran. Then he said, Maulana Diri Abadi, there is also a wide variation between the periods reckoned on the basis of various sources by different authorities. The Syriac sources claim that the seven sleepers woke in 425 or 437 years after Christ, whilst Greek traditions say 446 years after Christ, or the 38th year of the reign of Theodosius II. It is our unalterable faith that the Quran, being the custodian of the revealed truth and earlier scriptures, is much more trustworthy than all those ancient texts which were always open to changes and amendments. So the problem the Sheikh is saying is there's nothing authentic going back to that time period. The only thing we've got authentic is the Quran. So when you try to look at the other references, you're going to get so many differences of opinion. And if you don't understand the difference between chalk and cheese, you might give credence to the historical reports. So the Shaykh goes, the Quran is on another pedestal. It's telling you what's happening. So putting it very simply, what's the time period between the two emperors, Hadrian and Theodosius? Hadrian's rule was from 117 years after Christ, and he died 138 years after Christ. And Theodosius' rule came in 408 to 450 years after Christ. So what's the difference? The difference between those two emperors, so when the sleepers went into the cave and when they came out of the cave, the difference between those two emperors is 293 to 333 years. 293, taking the earliest date, to the latest being 333 years. This is why Maulana Diri Abadi says this is in line with the Quran, because the Quran says 300 plus 9. So note, you can find the truth from the historical references, but what are you using to find the truth? The Quran. And this is why the Quran is the criterion. This is the comfort we've got. We know where the truth lies. But if you don't take the Quran as a criterion, you're going to end up with different views. So this is the first thing I wanted to mention here about the time period and the empress. However, what's shocking is we shouldn't need to go into that debate. And the reason is because Maulana Muhammad Hifzur Rahman Sehrawi, Rahmatullah Alayh, in his Qasasul Quran, volume 2, page 223, he quotes some of the authorities. Hafiz Shawqani in his Tafsir Fath'ul Qadir, Ibn Abi Hatim and Ibn Mardawih, these are the authorities, they transmit from Abdullah Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. So he said, someone explains the Quran and supposes he has interpreted it correctly, but he commits a grave mistake as though he has fell down far from the sky to the earth. So what's the first thing Ibn Abbas said? He was angry. So people were interpreting the Quran, and he goes, they think they're correct, But they've made a monstrous mistake. And he goes, it's like being thrown from the heavens to the earth. After saying this, Ibn Abbas recited verse 25. So what does verse 25 say? They stayed in their cave 300 years, some ad night. He recited that verse. And then Ibn Abbas said, the people raised the question about how long the dwellers of the cave remained in the cave. And then themselves gave the answer. So Ibn Abbas up in the court, he's saying, who's Allah Ta'ala talking about there? Is he giving you the answer? And Ibn Abbas goes, no, he's not giving you the answer. He's quoting the people. Ibn Abbas said, 309 years is what the people said. Ibn Abbas then said, radiyallahu anhuma, if these people had really stayed that long in the cave, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have said, and he recited the next verse, قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا. Say, Allah Ta'ala knows best how long they stayed. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not said that, i.e. the verse 25, but it is the people that Allah Ta'ala has quoted. The quotation begins verses prior, verse 22. So if you go back to verse 22, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Some say there were three, the dog being the fourth. Amongst them, others say there were five, the dog being the sixth. And then he said, this is the understanding of these verses, and people have incorrectly interpreted it, committed a huge error. So simply put, what was Ibn Abbas saying? Allah Ta'ala hasn't told you the time. So somebody goes, how long did they stay in the cave? A long time. How long? Don't know. But then he goes, but doesn't Allah Ta'ala say 309? Yes, he does say that. But is he saying that? Then he goes, what do you mean is he saying that? He's quoting somebody. Have you understood? He's quoting somebody, right? And Ibn Abbas said, and he heard people saying this, 309, Quran says it. He goes, you've been thrown from the heavens to the earth. You're interpreting the Quran. So now why have I mentioned that here? Look what Maulana did about this drink. He's starting to get the 300 years. And he's looking at the historical references. He's found it. But really, did he need to do that? All he needed to say was, that's not important. If it was important, Allah Ta'ala would have told us. But Allah Ta'ala warned you about that. Don't go into unnecessary things. The time period is not important. But what have the Muslims done? They've gone into it. Right? So again, note, you have to be careful. Then he quotes another report in Ibn Kathir's tafsir. And Qatada rahmatullah alayh, he said that Ibn Abbas, now look how interesting. If you look at verse 25, how does the verse start? Wallabithu. So they stayed in the cave. Wallabithu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, his recital of this verse, he would recite it like this. Waqalu wallabithu. They said. So Ibn Mas'ud actually explained something here. Because it's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's somebody else. They said. So the Shaykh was saying, therefore, don't make this mistake. So again, if somebody is adamant, it goes 300 plus 9. The proof is upon them. You know, you made a statement, prove it. And then you can go back, look at the historical references, do the gymnastics like Maulana Diri Abadi did, rahmatullah alayh, and you get something like 300. But even then, is it 298? Is it 333? The Quran goes 309. Right? And then you say, look, you opened a gate you shouldn't have opened. And Gibbon attacked the Quran for that. Why was he attacking the Quran? Because he believed that the Quran is saying 300 plus 9 years. So Gibbon goes wrong, 200 years. But why did you allow Gibbon that opportunity? You understand? You should have said, who said 309 years? Because your Quran says it. Quran is quoting. So no, this is the problem. So maybe Allah Ta'ala has left this here to teach you. Listen to my commands. Don't go down unnecessary roads, otherwise you end up, you know, in a conundrum. So note here, this is again very important to highlight here. Now if you look at the verse, So the clear answer is, قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُ. Allah Ta'ala knows best how long they stayed. Look, Allah Ta'ala is telling you. If he said 309 years, and then he goes, but Allah Ta'ala knows best, why has he mentioned 309 years? You understand? It's actually, doesn't make sense. Allah Ta'ala says 309 years, Gibbon says. So then you go, Gibbon, read the next verse. What does the next verse say? Allah Ta'ala knows best. So if it was 309 years, why is he saying Allah Ta'ala knows best? So there, you made a mistake. With him, and look what Allah Ta'ala says, لَهُ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. With him is the secrets of the heavens and the earth. غَيْب. If something is غَيْب, are you going to understand it? Something's hidden. Who gave you the answer? If Allah Ta'ala says it's غَيْب, and you go, no, what they are. Have you got secrets of the غَيْب? Then look what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says. Look at these beautiful words. أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ. Look at these amazing words. أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ. How clearly he sees, how finely he hears. Qatada rahmatullah alayhi recited this portion. He said, no one hears or sees more than Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Look how beautiful. Allah Ta'ala, after telling you, only I know, he then describes himself. No one sees and hears like me. In other words, you dare think you've got knowledge of this. And yeah, what do we do? Right? And also here, Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayh, in his commentary of this surah, he said, this is what is referred to by the grammarians as the verb of amazement. So we're not Arabs. We don't appreciate the Quranic language. But when Allah Ta'ala says, أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ, how clearly he sees and hears, the grammarians who know the language, they go, this is the verb of amazement. They're blown away by this. They go, this is the amazing verb in the Quran. Then Ibn Uthaymeen said, how clearly he sees refers to what he sees. How clearly he hears refers to what he hears. Then he quotes a hadith. The hadith is in Nasa'i number 3490, Ibn Majah number 188, Ahmad number 24195. Aisha radiyallahu anha said, all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one whose hearing hears the voices. Verily, I was in the chamber, I did not hear some of the conversation. So what was she referring to? Our mother. When Khawla came, Khawla, her husband said, you are to me like my mother's bike. Meaning, and then he got angry, and the others would say this, you are to me like my mother's bike. So Khawla thought, has he divorced me? So she went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when she was pleading her case to the Prophet, Aisha was hearing. It was Aisha's chamber. And she goes, I heard a bit of what she was saying, but I didn't get everything. But Allah Ta'ala heard everything. قَدْ سَمِعُ اللَّهُ. Allah Ta'ala, surah, in one of the surahs of the Quran, he hears. And she goes, I was in the chamber. I only heard a bit of her conversation. Allah Ta'ala heard everything. So Aisha was referring to that. Look at his hearing. He goes, we can't even hear from a short distance what people are saying. He goes, where is he hearing from? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And did his hearing get affected by other people's hearing? When you're making a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what makes you special? Look at a billion people making dua. You consider that. And yet when you're making dua, you've got full yaqeen, 100%, Allah ta'ala is listening. He's not getting confused. And that's why when you make dua, you feel humble in front of Allah. But if you go into tape recorder mode, carry on brother, wasting your time. You have to have the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you listen to everybody. Not just humans making dua. Not just jinn making dua at this moment. Not just ants making dua. Not just giraffes making dua. Not just fish making dua. You're listening to me. And your hearing isn't affected. So what does Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran? أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ. You study Quran. The verb of amazement. How clearly he sees. How finely he hears. Allah Ta'ala puts that here, after mentioning the sleepers of the cave, could have put it anywhere. Because you think you know, you have knowledge. You don't know anything. Then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? They have no protector other than him. Who's they? مَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِّن وَلِيُّ وَلَا يُشْرِكْ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. They have no protector. Who's Allah Ta'ala talking about there? Two meanings. They may be the sleepers of the cave. For they put themselves under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They disowned all partners to him. So one, it could be a praise. Allah ta'ala says, they have no protector. They have left their condition to me. And they have done correctly. Or the meaning could be, they refers to the people in general who worship other than Allah. So Allah ta'ala says, they have no protector other than him. Nor does he share his command with any person whatsoever. Look at the beauty of the Quran. Allah ta'ala has given you all different meanings with the same words. So somebody goes, brother, you know, the verse continues, they have no protector. Who's Allah ta'ala talking about there? He says, he's talking about the 100% believers. And at the same time, he's talking about the idol worshippers. Because how can he be talking about the same people? Well, read the verse. They have no protector other than him. Nor does he share his command with any person whatsoever. Sleepers of the cave, Tawheed. Allah Ta'ala is praising them. Or let's look at the mushriks. They have no protector other than him. Nor does he share his command with any person whatsoever. He's condemning them. Look at the beauty of the Quran. Look at this verse. You know, if you look at this verse, seriously reflect upon it. You're thinking, these are normal words. Say, Allah Ta'ala knows best how long they stayed. With him is the ghaib of the heavens and the earth. How clearly he sees, how finely he hears. They have no protector other than him, nor does he share his command with any person whatsoever. Subhanallah. Verse 27. And recite what has been revealed to you of the book of your Lord. None can change his words, and none will you find as a refuge other than him. So now here, there's many rites of the Quran. One rite of the Quran is to recite it. If you don't recite the Quran will complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is to try to understand it. The other is to use it as a shafa. All these are rites of the Quran. If you neglect any of those rites, the Quran will complain. So for instance, to believe in it, that's one of the rites of the Quran. You don't believe in it, you're kafir. Quran doesn't need to complain, you're doomed. So that's number one, everybody believes in it. Then you go, right, what's another right of the Quran? Recite it. You recite it. When I got time. Quran's going to complain. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Allah Ta'ala will listen to the Quran. So what's the minimum you should recite the Quran? 2 complete khatams every year. If you don't, you're in deep trouble. The third is to understand the Quran. So you believe in it, you recite it minimum 2 a year, but you've got no interest in understanding it, the Quran's going to complain. Another one is you do that, you believe in it, you recite it, you try to understand it, but you don't take shafa from it, because no, I'll get paracetamol. Sorry, Quran's going to complain. So these are the lights. Here, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning one of them. Watlu ma'uhi, recite. He doesn't say understand, recite what has been revealed to you of the book of your Lord. Right? So now there's a hadith. The hadith is in Ibn Hibban Sahih. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, whoever recites 10 verses of the Quran every night, he is not negligent. So the Prophet himself told you the bare minimum. If you read 10 verses every night, you are not negligent, meaning the Quran will not complain. So use that as a gauge. At least read 10 verses every day. And the Quran is in Arabic, not in English, not in Urdu, not in Punjabi, right? It's Arabic. You have to learn it. It's further than you. Right? Then the verse says, none can change his words, and none will you find as a refuge other than him. None can change his words, and none will you find as a refuge other than him. Look how beautiful that is. Who did the sleepers take as a refuge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala mentions that here. When you say, A'udhu billahi. Again, tape recorder. Oh, brother, slow down. What did you say? I said, A'udhu billahi. What does that mean? He goes, I seek refuge. So what? You just coming out with it. It's like, you know, cloudy speech. Why are you saying A'udhu billahi? You're saying exactly what the sleepers of the cave said. But they had yaqeen. Do you have yaqeen? I seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. That's why before you recite the Quran, you say that. Right? Think about that. You know, powerful words. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Kanz al-Omal, whoever says A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim 10 times morning and evening, shaitan has not got access to him. So again, it's very interesting, these zikrs that Allah Ta'ala has given. Verse 28. And keep your soul content with those who call on their Lord morning and evening, seeking His face. And let not your eyes pass beyond them, seeking the pomp and glitter of this worldly life. Nor obey any whose heart we have permitted to neglect the remembrance of us. One who follows his own desires, whose case has gone beyond all bounds. So here Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He's telling His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that keep yourself content with those who do remembrance morning and evening. This is a command. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you that you should be happy and comfortable in the company of those who remember their Lord. You should be content. And then Allah Ta'ala describes them. Yuriduna wajha, seeking His face. Meaning they're very sincere. They're not doing it for any other reason. Wala ta'adu aynaka anhum. Do not let your eyes pass beyond them. Because always keep them under your care. Turiduna zinat al-hayati dunya. Seeking the pomp and glitter of this life. And nor obey any whose heart we have permitted to neglect the remembrance of us. So now here there's a direct hadith. The hadith is in Tabarani, Ibn Mardawih, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba said, the Holy Prophet was in his dwelling when this verse was revealed. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَرْؤُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. And keep your soul content with those who call on their Lord morning and evening. When this was revealed to the Prophet in his chamber, he quickly went out to search for such people. He found a group of men engaged in dhikr, some of them with disheveled hair, parched skin, and clad in a single cloth. On seeing them, the Holy Prophet sat down beside them and said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Alhamdulillah, who has created in my nation such people that I have been ordered to sit in their company. Subhanallah. So imagine, Rasulullah is in his chamber, Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse. Be content with those who remember their Lord morning and evening. He runs out of the house, imagine, to find these people, and he sees some. And look, outwardly, they're nobodies. Hair's not in place, skin dry, and cloth just barely covering the odor. The Prophet sat with them. He goes, Alhamdulillah, that Allah Ta'ala has created people that I have to sit with. So now there's an interesting thing you can deduce from this. Many people, they don't experience that. In fact, they get the opposite. They get harassed by dhikr. That's normal. You see people doing dhikr. You see them fleeing. Quickly get him. Go on. Get him. Right? And then you think, what's up, brother? That's normal. What's happened? Kiamat. Allah Ta'ala is telling you to be content with those people. The Prophet ran out of his house to be finally look for these people. You're running the other way. Where do we find contentment? Bakwas. Right? We find contentment with TV. Bakwas. Right? The numtube. That's what they call it. The numtube. Internet. Bakwas. There's your contentment. 5 hours here, 6 hours here. MashaAllah. Very good. We don't go down. Right? Then you go, oh, my heart is really hard. MashaAllah. Allah, you know, you're obeying Allah's commands and you're complaining. Have you sat with people who think, oh, that's all they do? They're not bothered about what's happening out there. There you go, brother. MashaAllah. Shaitan's beautified it. Right? So there, Allah Ta'ala is telling you. Now, what's interesting? Where is this verse found? Do a little cough. Somebody goes, who's... Hang on a minute. 7 people in the cave. And what does the latter say? Seek refuge. First, from those whose desires have gone beyond bounds. Keep away from those people. Stick with those people. Now look how beautiful. Allah forced you in Surah Al-Kahf to at least spend some time with the sleepers of the cave. Isn't that interesting? Even though we're not physically with them now. He's forcing you. That we're doing now. Allah is forcing you to purify yourself if you study the Surah. Think about that. Who are these? You don't know their names. Well, we got their names. Ibn Abbas gave their names. Who's the dog? Where's that one, brother, brother? How long did they stay? Don't give them monkeys. Right? But when you're with them, Allah is teaching you. This is where my pleasure lies. The Prophet ran to those people. Think about that. That Allah is. Also, another interesting thing here. There's a report. And this report is telling you who's been referred to. In Ibn Jarir's tafsir, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were you not to recite what is revealed to you of the book of your Lord, you would have had no refuge from Allah. So what's this being referred to? If you go back to verse 27, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? None can change his words, and no one will you find as a refuge other than him. Ibn Jarir said, Allah Ta'ala is telling his beloved, you have to recite the Quran. And if you don't, you don't have any refuge. Now why is he put that here? Allah Ta'ala told that to the Prophet. Recite. You have to recite. Because when it comes to matters of amazement, sleepers of the cave, you know, people, you can, they might think this and that. Allah Ta'ala goes, recite. Tell them. There's no refuge. So look how beautiful. We got the command to recite the Quran. But the Prophet was given a specific command. You have to recite. And what did our beloved mother Sayyidah Aisha say? Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha said, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to hide any verse, he would have hidden this verse in Surah Ahzab, where Allah Ta'ala tells his beloved, you feared the people. You should have feared me. But did he hide that verse? Look how amazing. That's a sign of Nabut. If somebody goes, oh, he wrote this book, Muhammad wrote it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then why is he telling himself off? Right? He said in this book that you say he wrote, you feared the people, you should have feared your Lord. Why is he diminishing himself? Because he can't. Qul. How many times you say Qul in the Quran? He couldn't even drop the word Qul. Say Qul hu Allahu Ahad. Why didn't he say hu Allahu Ahad? Say, because he can't. I have to tell you what Allah is telling me to say. Qul. Qul. So here Allah Ta'ala says it again. Recite. Otherwise, nobody will, you will find no refuge other than me. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other thing which is amazing about this verse is that there's a command. Allah Ta'ala says, let not your eyes pass beyond them. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Do not let your eyes pass beyond them. Isn't that in the Quran? What does that mean? So he goes to their company. We understand that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Allah Ta'ala say? Don't let your eyes pass beyond them. Keep looking at them. So the scholars of the Quran, they say, this is tawajjuh. Tawajjuh is when a righteous soul focuses his gaze upon you. And this helps you. Somebody goes, what? Right? So tawajjuh is when a saintly soul focuses himself, his eyes on you, and this helps you. It strengthens your iman, it makes you sincere. How does it work? Don't ask me, brother. Where's the proof? Well, if you don't read Quran, get Gospel of Barnabas, innit? What does it say in this verse? وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Do not let your eyes pass beyond them. Why did Allah Ta'ala say that to the Prophet? He goes, honor them. So when he went to them, look at the gift Allah Ta'ala has given them. The Prophet doing tawajjuh on them, looking like this. Khabab, looking at Khabab like that, radiallahu, passing something on to him. He looked at, you know, the other companions, Bilal, tawajjuh. Can this be done from other than the Prophet? Yes. Tawajjuh. The sheikhs of the heart do this. This is why their presence is very blessed. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will do this. Imam Mahdi will do this, radiallahu. And this is why there's a report to finish. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, he said in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, because once I was in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I experienced such sweetness that I've never experienced thereafter. Somebody goes, what did he say? He goes, once I was in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I experienced such sweetness I've never experienced thereafter. Wasn't he in the company of the Prophet many times? Why did he single out one? Because that was the time the Prophet was doing tawajjuh on him. Because something happened. I felt it. Because the Prophet was looking at him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what's interesting about this? Who did the Prophet do this on? He would do it upon the righteous and he would do it upon the weak as well. Why? The companion said, Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. He goes, I thought I was the most beloved companion. Because the Prophet would always look at me. And then once he goes, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's the most beloved companion to you? Who's the most beloved person? So he goes, Aisha. He goes, no, I didn't mean amongst the women, the wives. Who? He goes, Abu Bakr. So Amr ibn al-As told him, okay, right? He goes, silver medal, right? He goes, who's after Abu Bakr? He goes, Umar. Okay, bronze medal. He goes, who's after Umar? He goes, Abu Ubaidah. Then he goes, I stopped asking. Because I thought I'll be right at the bottom of the list. Right? This is recorded in Tirmidhi. So why did he say that? Because the Prophet was always looking at him. So he got this impression that, I must be special, I'm special. And that's why when you get gatherings, when you get people who are weak, you notice the teacher doesn't look at the regular students. He look at the people who are weak. But those who haven't got knowledge, they always go, look at that, you know, yeah, not showing that love, is it? Not showing that love. Right? You think, carry on with your love in it. Astaghfirullah. So note here, the gift of the righteous. People go, oh, I've got, you know, crackpot friends, but oh, I can handle them. Oh my God. Right? You're keeping their company. They're destroying you spiritually. God knows when they're looking at you, looking with envious eyes, evil eye. God knows what how they're trying to destroy you. You don't even know how they're looking at. The evil eye is the reality. Right? Did the Prophet ever do the evil eye? Never. He can't commit sin. So to be in his company is nothing but goodness. Every one of us can commit the eye. You can do it to yourself. Right? So note here, another beautiful thing. Allah Ta'ala is telling you. It's the wajju. So look at these amazing gifts Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in this glorious surah. But how distant people are from the Quran, you know, Audhu Billahi. May Allah Ta'ala preserves. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا له غيب السماوات والأرض أبصر به وأسمع ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا واتل ما أوحي إليك من كتاب ربك لا مبدل لكلماته ولن تجد من دونه ملتحدا واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Assalamu alal mursalin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. Alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa nawasabil haqq wa nawasabil sabr. Sadaqallahu alazim.